This is Twit.
When did you get the idea to do this? You were writing about tech for a long time before this.
Yeah, you know, I was an editor at Wired, so I was churning out tech features. And in 2008, I decided to go freelance, finally be a writer. And, you know, I was doing tech features, but I also was doing, like, travel and art and just anything that kind of...
Were you burned out a little? On technology, maybe?
No.
I've seen that happen to people where they go, I'm done with this.
No, it just
especially in 2008.
2008. Well, you know, when someone says you want to go, you know, I was getting free vacations.
Yeah, travel's good.
Travel writing is
nothing
a good gig.
Nothing wrong with
okay?
it. Yeah,
like that's
yeah.
a good gig. So I was not saying no to that. Okay. And then my daughter was born, and I thought, I got to get serious.
I got to get serious.
And I was like, I need to actually. Write about something that matters.
Yeah.
Well, what matters most? What is the biggest story of our time? What
right.
is my daughter? What is this world that my daughter is being born into? What does she need to know?
Yeah.
And that's why I decided to do the history of the modern Silicon Valley.
I also feel like it's slipping away from us a little bit.
A bunch of guys that I interviewed when I started interviewing, I started this almost 5 years ago, and I started interviewing people who were there at the beginning at Xerox PARC, et cetera.
Doug Engelbart.
Yeah, and, you know,
Bob Taylor passed away. Yeah, we're starting to lose him. Yeah,
and we're starting to lose these early guys. So I got these, I think I got Bob Taylor's last interview. So he was the head of PARC.
Thank you for getting these.
And he was great, you know.
There have been other histories of Silicon Valley written. This is not really a history of Silicon Valley per se. This is more like, I don't know how to describe it. Tell me. It might help if people understand how you wrote this.
Let's talk about that. But what? Name a history of Silicon Valley.
Oh, there's quite a few of them. Fire in the Valley.
1984.
Yeah,
that
old.
Came out, my friend.
Yeah,
1984.
Yeah. There's nothing modern, I guess.
There's nothing modern.
There's dogfight. There's some more modern stuff. But it's not a history of the Valley. It's not a continuous history.
There isn't a history.
No.
Dogfight is a great book.
But it's modern. So what's going on with Amazon now, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can get, like, the Amazon story from Brad Stone,
right.
Dogfight from Vogelstein.
Right.
You can get the Facebook story, Levy's Google book,
right.
And you can line them all up.
Right.
And you can read all of them.
Right.
But if you just want to read one book and get kind of like the it's either Hackers, Levy's book.
Levy's book's brilliant. But that stops in like 1978 or something.
Yeah, and it is half of it's at Harvard or
MIT.
Or you could do Fire in the Valley, which ends in 84.
Yeah.
And I've got the third edition. It's smaller than the second edition. Okay?
Less has happened.
Keeps taking stuff out. Okay? It's not the history.
But so, this is an oral history, and that's what I love about this.
It's a different kind of history. It's an oral history, which means it's not Adam Fisher's history.
Your voice is not in this at all.
I'm not in there.
Yeah.
You know? It's 185,000 words, 500 pages.
Whew.
So let's say 10,000 sentences, right? You know, we'll say, line them up in order. That's your book. But every one of those sentences, I had to get some billionaire to say for
right.
me because I wanted their voices.
Did you go in, though, knowing, okay, I want to tell this story, or did you just let them talk? And then what you talk about is scissors and paste.
True. Tape, yeah.
And you paste it together. So it's hard to describe this. If somebody picks up the book, they'll immediately see, though, when you're reading about Facebook, it's a bunch of different voices, one after the other. But they're not all in the same room, I presume. These were separate interviews.
So, yeah, it's exactly like making a documentary movie.
Right.
Each chapter is like a documentary movie.
Right.
So what would you do if you were making a documentary about Facebook or any other company, and I want, you know, try to capture the early days. You go round up all the people who were there. You ask all of them to tell you their story, okay? And then you cut it together.
Right.
So it's as if they're all at a bar.
That's what it felt like to me, a really great cocktail party.
Yeah.
Where if you got all the people who were involved in General Magic, let's say, and you got them all and you sat them down, they'd be going back and forth swapping these stories.
That's right.
But you interview them separately.
Yes.
Transcribed it. And then literally with scissors?
So look, I love computers. I love computers. I can't write without a computer. I'm a computer geek. But to do this, you've got to take so there's about maybe 10 voices, a dozen voices in each chapter, because that's about the right number of people you want talking in your little documentary movie, right? And then you got to look at them all at the same time to try to create an arc out of all these quotes. And there is not a screen big enough to have everything open at once. I literally resorted to printing them all out and having, like, across the living room, like, lines of paper all taped together so you could see the entire, like, 10 feet of interview. And then there would be, like, 10 feet of interviews. And then I'd put on my kneecaps from the garage. Yeah, literally, for, like, when I'm working on the house. And, like, crawl around and be like, that quote should be first, and then that quote.
That's how, by the way, we used to do this.
And then cut them.
But the theory was you would never have to do that again.
Yeah, but and I desperately...
But then what do you do with the cut-together thing? You scan it?
No, then I...
You
then
have to
I,
type it
then
in?
Then I have it, right?
Yeah.
And so then I can actually cut and
paste. Oh, then you can do it.
Then I cut and paste.
Oh, good. All right.
Okay. Yeah. But to get that first rough cut,
it works.
Yeah.
It really feels like, I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if you could sit down? So for me, the ones that resonate are the early chapters, because these are all people. This was me growing up. Stephen Levy, Kevin Kelly, Fred Davis, Fabrice Florin. And then the Whole Earth Electronic Link, Larry Brilliant, Stuart Brand, Ram Dass. You interviewed Ram Dass?
Okay. So, some people you can't get to.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs would be a tough interview right now.
But there's lots. I mean? But he's got a lot of.
But there's archival stuff. You can go to Stanford. You can go to the History Museum. You can go to reporters who interviewed these guys and say, hey, I'm doing this thing. Can I have your master tapes? And you can get sometimes quotes that have never been seen before. And sometimes they're just the classic quotes.
But then they're suddenly in context now because you've got the other people around it. And it's a really interesting way to write a book. The only other person I could think of is Studs Terkel.
Except Studs didn't cut them together.
Right.
Working, they're not cut together. Every chapter is a
different person.
And it's just
But it
an
has
interview.
That feel of immediacy and
right.
you're hearing the person talk in their words right. about what happened. And I really, right. that's what made Studs brilliant.
I love that book working, but
so it's like
we did it a little differently.
Yeah, it's like a cocktail party meets working or, or something.